I invite your attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah, chapter 54. My text is verse number 17. It is a conclusion to verses 1 through 16. In verse 1, Jehovah told his people to sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. And he then gives to them reasons why they should sing. Now we have good reason for singing. We sang just a moment ago, two hymns. When you look at the subject of the hymns, and you do read the words when you sing, do you not? There's good reason to sing. Because of whom and what our God is. Here, they sing because of his blessings to them. And you can read those verses later today. I want you just to come with me to verse number 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Well, now that is sweet. No weapon. Lord, you ought to see the weapons my enemies have. Don't worry about it. Nah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I will not let it prosper. Every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Oh, Lord, there's some very important people been speaking against me in persecution and ridicule and mockery. Do not worry about it. You're going to stand up and condemn them.
Yes, sir.
Why? Why is this true? Because this is the heritage of the servants of Jehovah. That's my heritage, folks.
Amen.
That is my heritage. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and my tongue will have a right answer to those who rise up in judgment against me.
Amen.
It's my heritage. And then, here's my text. Here's my text in the end of verse 17. And their righteousness is from me, says Jehovah. You see that word Lord in all uppercase letters? Whenever you see the word Lord or God in the Old Testament in all uppercase letters, that's God's name, Jehovah. It's his covenant name. It is his name with his covenant people. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He is Elohim, the great one, with regard to the nations and to the creation. But when he speaks to his people, Moses said, well, whom shall I say sent me? Jehovah. What does it mean? The ever-present one. I am what I am.
Yeah.
Well, exactly what are you? Whatever I need to be.
That's it.
Whatever you need, I am.
Yeah.
I am Jehovah. And the ancient Jewish fathers were so afraid of taking God's name in vain that when they came across it, here it is in all uppercase letters, you know, it's the name Jehovah, or Yahweh, if you will. But who is it speaking? Their righteousness is from me, says Jehovah.
Amen.
So we're going to look at the subject today. My righteousness from God. That is the title of my message.
Amen.
Righteousness from God. Righteousness. It's an interesting word. It comes from the word righteous. Our modern word righteous is an early 16th century alteration of the old word rightwise. What is it to be righteous? It's to be rightwise. It is to be what you should be, rightwise. Righteousness is rightwiseness. Now I can understand that. Righteousness, where'd it come from? Came from God. Their righteousness is from me. We're going to consider 3 points today. First, this righteousness defined. Second, this righteousness completed. Third, this righteousness applied. Here is Jehovah's righteousness, defined, completed, and applied. So let's define it first. First point, their righteousness is from me, this righteousness defined. What is this righteousness? I believe I can probably give to you four expressions that will let you know what this righteousness is. First, this righteousness is perfect and complete conformity to every precept of God's law. Perfect and complete, in no way lacking in relationship to God's law. That is righteousness. If you have that, you have righteousness. Perfect and complete. Never failing. Conformity to every precept of God's law. When the law speaks, you say, I got that. Law says, do not do this. I've not done it. Law says, you shall do this. I did. And I do. Righteousness, complete and perfect conformity to every precept of God's law. Second, we might say that it is the fulfillment of the righteous requirement of the law, Romans 8:4, which is the law of righteousness, Romans 9:31. It is a law of righteousness. There's a law of this country and the law of that country, and then there's the law of God, and it is the law of righteousness. The law of righteousness. Righteousness is the fulfillment of the righteous requirement of the law. It means that if you have this righteousness, you have perfectly kept God's law.
Yes, sir.
Now, somebody has.
Amen.
Some people have. Because Jehovah said, their righteousness is from me. They are perfect and complete in relationship to my law. Vine's Dictionary says it is the character or quality of being right or just. And Thayer says it is the state of him who is as he ought to be. So, when Jehovah gives to you his righteousness, he looks at you and he says, you are exactly what you ought to be.
Right.
You are right-wise. Yeah. You have right-wiseness. Why, you please me. My law looks at you and says, find no fault in him.
Yeah, that's right.
Find no fault in him. This righteousness defined. Therefore, this righteousness is not the original righteousness of mankind. He lost it. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:29 that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. God made man upright. Yep, there he is in the garden. He has a righteousness he does not even know he's naked. He's got no shame in it. He's righteous. He's righteous. Innocent and holy before God. He is as he ought to be because God would come down just to walk with him and to talk with him and to commune. He communed with God. You can't do that in sin and shame. With the righteous, God makes himself available. But they have sought out many schemes. You said, don't eat this fruit. Watch. And there he did it. Plunged himself into death and took all the rest of us with him. We sinned in Adam. We fell in Adam. We died in Adam. We are born dead in trespasses and sins. That righteousness with which God made man, it's gone. It's gone. You cannot bring it back. Nor is this righteousness any personal or self-righteousness, contrary to some folks. Hopefully none here today, but some folks so proud of their righteousness. So proud of their righteousness. Well, we're incapable of that righteousness. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight.
Amen.
And we confess all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Yes, sir.
Filthy rags. I'm not going to get too crass with you, but it just simply means menstruous cloths.
Yes, sir.
Menstruous cloths. People in self-righteousness. Everything they've done is a menstruous cloth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dripping with the flow. And they take all their menstruous cloths, take them to the sewing shop of free will.
Yeah.
And on the table of works, they sew them all together. All their menstruous cloths. And there stand before God dripping with their depravity from their menstruous cloths and say, ain't I pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Look at me.
Oh, yeah.
And we look at it and behold, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Yeah.
I have a righteousness, but it didn't come from me.
No. That's right.
I have a righteousness, but it is not that which Adam lost and which I lost in him. Their righteousness is from me. I'm going to describe it to you now. Second point, this righteousness completed. It was completed and wrought by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In perfectly keeping and fulfilling God's law.
Amen.
When Jehovah says their righteousness is from me, he's speaking about Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ here is that which he himself wrought.
Yes, sir.
In his incarnation.
Yes, sir.
In the days of his life and in the hours of his death, he wrought. Oh, in his life, he is weaving a garment.
Yes, sir.
With every act he did. In every stitch, in its warp and woof, here he is.
Yes,
he's weaving a garment in everything that he did in the 33 and a half years of his life and in the 3 hours of his death.
Yeah.
Weaving a garment. And when he got it finished, Jehovah said, I'm going to give it to my people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their righteousness is from me. Consider, he completely fulfilled God's law. What is God's law? Well, it is especially expressed in the Ten Commandments. Very briefly, and I know that you folks all know them, but there may be some that are viewing this message through the media and may not know, but I'll just let you know what they are. Very briefly, Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or idol. You shall not take the name of Jehovah your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet what belongs to someone else. That is, if you will, that is about as brief an expression of God's law as you can find.
Yes, sir.
When men make laws for society, why, it takes a whole library full of volumes, and when God does it, he puts it in 10 words. And that's what, it's called the Decalogue. It means 10 words.
Yep.
It's brief and it's to the point.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jesus summarized the 10 commandments when he was asked, what is the great commandment in the law? And this scribe is probably thinking, there are 10 commandments, but there are 600 more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll find out from this man what he knows about God's law.
Yeah.
Which is the great commandment in the law? Well, Jesus is nonplussed.
Yeah.
He was not born yesterday.
Yeah.
And he says, the first commandment is, you shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Now that's the first commandment. Then the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These are the first two great commandments. There is no commandment greater than these. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the scribe says, yeah, he's smarter than I am. That's God's law. God's law has to be perfectly fulfilled to love Jehovah supremely and to love your neighbor as yourself and to show it in every action you do, every word you speak, and every thought you imagine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Whoa, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. It's got to be kept perfectly. That's the expression of it. You mean it demands perfection and completion? Yep, it sure does. But back to Jesus Christ. He was duty bound to keep and fulfill God's law. Duty bound. He had to. And I mean he had to do so. From his mother's womb. No, he had to do it in his mother's womb. Then from his mother's womb. Then through every day of his life. Paul the Apostle, through divine inspiration, said Jesus was born under the law, meaning the law had governance over him. Born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, and he could not do so unless he kept it. He is duty bound to keep it. Jesus, in his incarnation, said, behold, I come in the scroll or the volume of the book. It is written of me. Now, let me tell you about this book, or this scroll, if you will. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. What is this scroll? This scroll is Jehovah's decree of predestination from before the foundation of the world. God's eternal decree of predestination. It's written in a scroll, as they used to write books in olden days. And every day as the sun rises, that scroll is unopened and it reads, this shall happen today. Later today, this shall happen. It is written in the scroll of the book, in the decree of God's eternal predestination from before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said, in the scroll of that book, it is written of me from old eternity. Jehovah recorded it. And I agreed to it. I delight to do your will. That's what it says of me. In his incarnation, what did he say? He said what was predestined of him from old eternity. I delight to do your will. I love to do it. Oh, it is my pleasure. It is my pleasure. I delight to do your will. And I know what your will is because your law was written in my heart.
Yes, sir.
Moses delivered the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. Jehovah's law was written in the tablet of Jesus' heart. It's written in my heart, and I delight to do it. I don't need to go over there and find a tablet of stone to find out what your will is. I know what it is. Here it is in my heart. Oh, I delight to do it. Your law was written in my heart. I delight to do it, and I am duty bound to do it.
Yes.
Jesus also said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And I'm the one to fulfill it. I'm duty bound to do so. I'm telling you, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I'm duty bound to do so. Not a jot or a tittle shall pass away until it's fulfilled. Jot. What is a jot? It is, actually, this word jot, our English word jot, translates the Greek word iota, which we pronounce iota, which is the smallest character in the Greek alphabet, which translates the Hebrew letter yod, which also happens to be the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So, when you want to consider what a jot is, it is the smallest thing in the alphabet, whatever alphabet you're looking at. All right? The smallest. Now, what is the tittle? The tittle was a little mark that would be put over a letter to distinguish it from another letter, such as the dot over the I or the J. Some letters might look the same, but the difference in them is that little tiny dot, you see, or a little horn, you see, coming out of the letter. And Jesus says, even those little dots and those little horns on those letters, they must be fulfilled. Right. It is not the great commandments that must be fulfilled in them alone. Even the smallest part of God's law, nothing can be overlooked.
Right.
Nothing can be overlooked. The plan in every detail must be made to pass. I'm going to do it, he says. And he did. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. There have been times when, I restrained myself from committing some great sin, but you should have heard what I said under my breath. Not so with Jesus. Not so with Jesus. He committed no sin. He did not even mumble in under his breath because he never even conceived it in his mind. No sin. No deceit. No guile in his mouth. He never sinned in deed, in word, or thought. Everything God's law required, he did, and everything God's law forbade, he did not. He did not. If God's law said do it, he did so. If God's law says do not do it, he did not. He's duty bound. He's duty bound, even to the very jot and tittle of the smallest commandment. He completed or fulfilled God's law in a twofold manner. First, as the representative or vicar of God's chosen people in his active obedience to God's law. He's the representative. When he's keeping God's commandments, it's not just for him. He's weaving a garment for those for whom he represents. God's elect were in Christ from before the foundation of the world. God's elect were in Christ when he walked upon this earth. When Jesus kept God's law, everybody in him kept God's law. And he's weaving a righteousness for them as their representative. And every time he keeps God's law, so does everyone in him. That's his active obedience. His active obedience. Everything he did was righteous. He goes to John and says, baptize me. And John says, oh Lord, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, you do this because it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Yeah. Everything he did, fulfilling all righteousness. And he did it as the vicar or the representative of God's people. Everything he did. Then his second obedience was as the penal substitute of God's people in his passive obedience, especially during the 3 hours of his death on Calvary. When he was led as a lamb to the slaughter and never opened his mouth. Pilate Pilate had him punished so severely. And then told him what the people were saying. And Pilate marvels, "Do you have nothing to say about all this?" And Jesus opens not his mouth.
That's right.
He opens not his mouth. Men revile him. He does not revile them in return, because he did not even conceive that thought in his mind.
Yeah.
Did not. What's he doing? Fulfilling the law. Yeah, but wait a minute, he never broke it. That's true. But he was born under the law to redeem those that were under the law, and they broke it.
Yes, sir.
They broke it. And God took every transgression of his people, every violation of his law that they committed, laid them on Christ.
Yes.
Christ bore them to Calvary, and he died for them. Every sin ever committed deserved one penalty, and the penalty is death. Do not care what the sin is.
Right.
Matters not. The soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay for that for God's people. Somebody's got to pay. And Jesus did it as the penal substitute of God's people, particularly in the 3 hours of his death, when God plunged the world into darkness at high noon and said, "Nobody's going to watch what's going to happen now. My law's going to be fulfilled. And Jesus is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It is because he was fulfilling God's law, dying in the place instead, as the penal substitute of God's elect.
Amen.
And as he did so, he's still weaving that garment.
Yes,
he's still weaving that robe of righteousness. He's still weaving that righteousness that Jehovah calls his. And then, in his active obedience in what he did, in his passive obedience as the penal substitute of God's people, when he had fulfilled every commandment of the law in every jot and tittle and paid for every violation of God's law committed by God's elect, he shouted, "It is finished!"
Amen.
And the garment was done. The righteousness was wrought.
Amen.
How do we know? He was delivered because of our offenses and raised because of our justification.
Amen.
Jehovah said, "By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many." And when he said, "It is finished," Jehovah said, "They're justified. They're righteous. And it is my righteous that they have. And my righteous was wrought by you, my son. And I'm going to give it to my people."
Yeah.
So let's look at this aspect here. Third point. We have looked at this righteousness defined. We have looked at this righteousness completed. Now we're going to look at this righteousness applied. My final point. Now, we know that this righteousness wrought by Jesus Christ was applied to God's people because Jehovah says, "Their righteousness is from me." So, if their righteousness is from Jehovah, then it must have been given to them because they did not have it before he gave it. Are you with me? Okay. All right. It is applied. It is given. Jehovah gave it to his people. Christ wrought it. Jehovah applied it to his people. How? First, God imputes Christ's righteousness to believers in him. Romans chapter 4. We read, "God imputes righteousness apart from works. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Amen. It is imputed to us. People say, and I have been asked, why do you not keep the law? Well, for one reason, I'm not under it because of Christ. But if you really want to raise their eyebrows, when they ask you, why do you not keep the law? Tell them, I've already kept it. I've already kept it. Paul says that the righteous requirement of the law is unto us who believe in Christ.
Amen.
God looks upon me and says, in my son, you have kept every part of my law. Every part of it. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us who believe. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Yeah. Fulfilled. I love that. In us. God looks upon his people and says, every one of them has kept my law perfectly.
Yes, sir.
Balaam says, he beholds no iniquity in Israel. And that's true.
Amen.
That's true.
Yes, sir.
God beholds no iniquity in his people. He says, every one of them has kept my law in my son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Furthermore, in Christ we have righteousness from God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of God you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. Jesus Christ became for us God's righteousness. God's righteousness. Furthermore, God will clothe Christ's bride in him and his righteousness. Revelation 19, verse 8. And to her it was granted, not earned, not merited, not bought. It was granted.
Amen.
Granted. Somebody gave it. Amen. Somebody gave it.
Amen. It
was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. Fine linen. Clean and bright.
Yes.
Some of us may remember, little over maybe half a century ago, there was a certain household detergent, wash day detergent, and it, you know, and when they advertised it on television, you wash your sheets in this certain detergent, you put them on the line and they sparkle. You know, they sparkle. That's what this means. The bride of Christ, she's not only in fine linen that is spotlessly white, she sparkles.
Yeah. Amen.
She's got a glittering righteousness.
Amen.
It was granted to her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. Now, King James Version says righteousness, but if you look at the original, it's plural righteousnesses. And every one of them is Christ's. Every one of them is Christ's. She's clothed in his righteousness. Oh, he not only has washed her, he not only has cleansed her, he even bought her wedding dress,
yes, sir.
Paid for it with his own blood,
yeah.
And then gave it to her.
Yes.
Gave it to her.
Yes,
and never was, I'm tempted to say that that on our wedding day, when my wife walked down the aisle, I'm tempted to say that that was the most beautiful I'd ever seen her. But I'm not going to say that, because I think the last time I saw her, she looked more beautiful. And you can let her know that I said that if you see her. But I remember the wedding day. All right, she came walking down that aisle, and I turned. I said, I didn't know she was so beautiful. And this is the day it is at the wedding of Christ. We did not know she is so beautiful. Look at her.
Amen.
She's clothed in Christ.
Amen.
Her righteousness is granted to her. And when we talk about how beautiful, the angels in heaven talk about how beautiful this bride is in her garment. Jehovah says, I gave it to her. And the Son says, I wrought it and I bought it.
Amen.
And it was cleansed in my blood.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Furthermore, Christ's bride declares that she is clothed in Christ's righteousness from God. Isaiah 61 verse 10, He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And that robe of righteousness is Christ in His righteousness, the righteousness that He wrought and which the Father applied. Jehovah applied it. All right. Accordingly, Christ's church desires to be clothed by God in Christ's righteousness alone. We pray to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Philippians 3, verse 9. I want to be clothed in Him. Oh, I want to be clothed in Him. Let that man, let that woman be clothed in their filthy rags. I want to be clothed in Christ. I want to be clothed in Him. We confess Jesus Christ by His God-given name, Jehovah, our righteousness.
Amen.
Jehovah said, this is the name by which He shall be called. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness.
Amen.
And I'm giving Him to my people. He will be Jehovah, their righteousness. And then, very last, we who have received this righteousness from God do not boast of any personal righteousness. Rather, we confess His righteousness alone.
Yes. That's right.
Psalm 71:16, we say, I will make mention of thy righteousness, of thy righteousness alone.
Yeah.
Folks, it's all I have.
Exactly.
It's the only righteousness I have.
Exactly.
I've broken every commandment in God's law, including every little jot and tittle of it.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Amen.
But I have a righteousness. And it's perfect and complete. Even Jehovah said so.
Amen.
And I will make mention of thy righteousness, and thine alone. Why? Because Jehovah said, their righteousness is from me, and I confess my righteousness is from Him.
Amen.
And I pray that is your confession. Oh God, our Father, be pleased, we pray, to bless this word, this glorious gospel of your righteousness, wrought by Christ and given by you to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.